We are back in Derech Hashem. We are in Chelek Aleph Perek Hei. We've been talking for many shirim now about free will. We've been taking it slow because free will is, I don't have to say possibly, it is definitively, unquestionably, 100% the most important element of the world that we live in, which is why the Ramchal has this perek, which is why the Ramchal took us on this long journey to explain. God is at the source, who wants to give us the good. We are the people who receive the good. We receive the good by making a connection with God. We receive the good in this particular slice of history where we're sunken in the physical world and have to do Torah Mitzvot in order to connect to Him. But how do we even do all those things? What is the linchpin of this reality? What does this reality revolve around? It revolves around that choice. That's the meaning of Olam Hazeh as we narrow down the scope over the course of Chelek Aleph. And so we're spending time with real because it is the most critical piece of what it means to be in this world definitionally. Definitionally, we exist in this world and past this world. In this world, the most critical piece, the most critical function is free will, and it's something which we often don't think about. And what we've been talking about is the fact that while everything starts off in the kochot, and moves down into the olam hashafel, in the Bechira model, it goes from the Olam HaShafel, and it goes back up to the Kochot. We influence reality through the things that we do. The only way to do that is through our free will actions. Our free will actions mean I am choosing, as you read from the Rachal in Mamari Karim. Our free will actions are when we're doing something that's in the realm of mitzvah or avera, then we're within the realm of free will, and we're not doing something that is neither a mitzvah nor an avera, we're not relating to a mitzvah or an avera, then we're not in free will, and we are guided like anything else on the planet. Again, no difference between me and the chipmunk. None whatsoever, except that I'm deluding myself into thinking that we're different. Unless I choose to... What?
Or a goat on a leash like they were in the farm yesterday.
I was like, why did we need to define me as a goat on a leash because the chipmunk wasn't good enough? Okay.
Did you see that?
No, I did not see the goat on a leash, but I was totally confused. But great.
It was in the farm.
It was in the farm? There's lots of weird things
with
the
little
farm.
Pony.
There's alpacas. I saw the ponies.
Oh, no. I missed... That was when they brought the animals out.
Yeah, what? Yesterday.
That's so depressing.
Yeah,
I have to drive this week because I can't walk. So I didn't get the 1 week. I didn't get so. I, at least with the snow, I'd like to see some
animals.
Yeah,
yesterday it was on the way to the shop. It was great. It was
like 3 o'clock.
I was out.
Thanks for ending my day. Yeah.
I
thought that was your comment. I'd like to note that we'd like to hear in the front. Yes.
So you're saying that if you don't actively make the choice of saying, I am taking a nap because I want to. I want to be able to, you know, respect my parents better or be able to be more present in the world, whatever. Like, if you're not actively doing stuff, like making a decision to get closer to God, then that's not free will. Then
correct.
Everything else is just, like, doesn't count.
Correct.
So that's, like, majority of our life. Meaning...
Hopefully not!
No, but you're not...
First of all, hopefully not in general. And second of all... That's why we're learning about this. Because if you don't know that there are these two models, and you delude yourself, like in the Row 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 Your Boat song, and you delude yourself into thinking that you are actually taking yourself somewhere when you're really not, which is the way we are deluded into thinking, then you'll always exist, like you just said, in the model of Tivit. What was the first one? Something Tivit's model? Tivit Mukhrachat model, the compulsory natural model. Yeah, you will. But first of all, by virtue of the fact that you show up to meet Hashem, that you daven, and you do mitzvot, and you do ches, and you do things, you do have an Hashem. So you have not been living solely in the Tivit Mukhrachat model. But the goal is to try to take as much of life as possible and move it over into the Bechirit model.
It's like be present at every moment of your life.
Be present?
Present.
Yeah, I think the key word I think is active. Meaning you could be totally present sitting on the boat going downstream. You could be meditating. It could be wonderful. Right? I mean, you could be taking in everything. But that doesn't mean that you're actively choosing anything.
Right.
So being present, if you're not present, then you can't actively choose. I think that's maybe a prerequisite. And the concept of the fact that we are very often in our life not in the moment, that we live very often too much in the past or worrying about the future. That's a whole separate piece. But once you're present, are you actively choosing or are you not actively choosing? And it's not even you're actively choosing, because I might think that I'm actively choosing, but if I'm in this model, it's the illusion of actively choosing. First, my choice is, am I actively choosing to choose? Once I actively choose to be within the Bechira model, once I actively choose to choose, What am I choosing? And that's why the beauty of what the Ram Kal does is, he says that when you're in the choice model, if you're within the realm of mitzvot and averot, averot is also within the free will model. So you first need to make the choice to choose, and then make the actual choice within that model. So you're saying now, going forward, you can choose to sleep. It's forcing you like to be active. I am not just tired and flopping myself on the bed and letting sleep wistfully take me away. I am choosing to go to sleep now. I am making an active choice of what I want to do. I can go to sleep because, as I've heard, I hate sleep, so I don't relate to this, but I've heard people tell me, right, like, I love to sleep. It's just so great. I just to be out cold for like 9, 10, 11 hours is the best. Don't understand it at all, but I've heard people say it, right? Why are you doing it then? Your own selfish needs of enjoying sleep. Meaning, you've chosen to actively go to bed early because you like to be in the existence of sleep. It's serving yourself.
So if you do like to do that, how do you change that into a theory?
Doing two things. One is saying, no, why do I need to sleep? What's the meaning of sleep? I'm going to sleep because I need to, as you put it, to make sure that I'm awake enough to keep it up aim. I'm just saying, like, yeah, I'm not going there, but that was your example, for keep it up aim. Or I would say more klali, to just go to sleep because, like, I need 7 hours of sleep in order to daven when I get up with kavana, in order to do mitzvot, in order to just have a full, excited, active avodat Hashem, what?
To come to
midrashah. Right, be present and focused there also. but then, how much sleep do I really need? And how much sleep past that is just me indulging?
In which case, I want to indulge?
Are you allowed to indulge in physicality? Is that the goal of this world?
But like, if you know you could survive on 7 hours, but 9 hours would make you so happy, can I do?
Well, the question is, what does it mean to make you so happy? There are a lot of things in life that would make me happy that are usser. It doesn't mean I could do them. Meaning, the goal is not to make me happy. If you're saying,
it's not like intrinsically bad.
So it's not nothing is intrinsically evil. Sleep isn't intrinsically bad. The question is, at what point do you cross the threshold between, well, yes, I could survive on 7, but if I had 8, my mood will be in such a better place that I'll greet people with singer panayafo, and I'll be able to smile more when I do a mitzvah, and I'll be able to be a little bit more focused, even just a little bit, but I'm telling you, it'll change my day in a way where I can really give it my all in avodas Hashem. So fine. Awesome. Givaldi. What's your kavana?
Can you say it even with your kavana? Like, I want to go to sleep for 12 hours, but, like, now I just say, oh, I'm going to sleep for 12 hours because then I'll wake up and I'll be happy. Or, and then if I slept for 7 hours.
Can you trick yourself?
Yeah.
You're able to trick yourself. But, like, God's not like, shoot, how did I miss that? Right? That's why on Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, when we're davening and we're like, crying our eyes out because we say in the tefillah that a Kadosh Baruch Hu sees into our hearts and knows our true intentions. We say those words on Yom Yom Noraim, where we have to finally look at ourselves face to face and recognize that the only other person truly looking at us face to face other than ourselves is God. Because you can't get past Him. You can't outthink God. So that's a very real question. How real is one going to be with oneself? All food for thought, but that's what makes life exciting and real and meaningful. It's what makes it active. It's what makes it full of choice. And the reason why we want to draw as much of life as possible from the Tivit Mukhrachat model into the Bechirit model is because what is the centerpiece of Olam Hazeh? Eight classes now.
I had 12 hours of sleep last night, so I can't answer.
What is the centerpiece of Olam Hazeh? No, of Olam Hazeh. The centerpiece of creation is man. That's what we keep differentiating. The centerpiece of Olam Hazeh, and that's why the Ramchal differentiates, is Bechira Chofshit. Bechira Chofshit is the centerpiece. This world is built around Bechira Chofshit. All of existence is built around man. But this world, around Bechira Chofshit, which exists only within man. And so, to the extent that one lives in the Bechira Chofshit model, what are you actually doing? You're truly living life. Because if the world was designed around the centerpiece of free will, if you exercise your free will, you're living in the world. If you don't exercise your free will, you're not actually living life. To bring it full circle, life is but a dream. If you don't exercise your free will, you are not living life. Does that make... We're going to... I mean, I don't mind... We could spend 10 more times just, like, sitting with these concepts. Like, this is as practical as it gets in terms of living life.
Sometimes it's a little bit scary.
Yeah.
Because then, especially, like, if you know that your choice might not be the right choice, then, like, you feel so much worse if you were... If you just do it, like, whatever, because you just, like, were influenced by the cloud or whatever, and, like, you're not thinking about it, then you just did the wrong thing, but you weren't thinking about it, versus, like, if you actively decide, and, like, I know this sounds crazy, because how could you ever actively decide to do the wrong thing, but sometimes, like, you do.
You make a mistake. That's why what we read last time was, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that everything that we does has different levels of impact. Were the intentions positive? Well, my machshava can impact the kochot. Did I talk it out in the right way? Well, my dibor impacts the kochot. Were my actions where they should have been? No, but how would I ever possibly fix that and bring it to the right place if I don't fail?
Right.
If I just sit in the Tevit Mukhrachat model, I got nothing.
Right.
I don't even have my own mistakes. I don't have any successes and I have no failures. I am not.
But you feel like your failures are just so much worse. When you're in the, like, let's say, like, I'm making up an example. You have free time, and you're like, should I read this, or should I read over the Parsha of this week? And, like, you really just don't want to start reading, like, Hebrew or English of Parsha, and you just want to read your, like...
And that's knowing oneself. That goes back to Lisa's question, meaning what's real and what's not, being genuinely honest with yourself. Is it like, I don't feel like in my Yitzhahara is bothering me? It's like, if I look at another line of Hebrew text right now, with all of the pressures that I have in my life, and all of the schoolwork that I have, and all the Torah I learned today, if I don't just chill out for, and now's the tricky part, how many number of minutes? 10 minutes? 15 minutes? 20 minutes? A half an hour? An hour? One show? A whole season? Right? Depends. Right? How much is a personal choice? That's where the critical piece comes in, and that's where one can make a mistake. But if you then force yourself to sit down and keep going when you can't keep going, that's not necessarily the right choice. And then reading the few pages of that pure, beautiful, G-rated book.
French history.
Excellent. Ish. you know, then that becomes part, the same way sleep becomes part of your Avodat Hashem, so then that becomes, you're re-energizing yourself. That's totally legitimate. Totally legitimate.
So cool. TV could be part of Avodat Hashem.
I intentionally didn't give the example of TV because it's hard to find G-rated TV. Right.
please buy stuff.
If you find G-rated TV, then yes. Yeah, 100%. It's no different than, you know, like, just the example that The Rebbe's given all the yeshivas. You're like, you've got to go out and play, like, you know, 45 minutes of basketball in the middle of your day in order to recharge. So go out and play 45 minutes of basketball. Go and recharge. Go do what you got to do. And even in terms of what you're learning and how you're learning it, I mean, the questions become incredibly subtle. Incredibly subtle. You know, I think I can tell this story. It's been a lot of sharing lately. I think I can tell this story, which is when I was in Shana Bet. No, it's okay. It's not a bit. It's about myself. I just think it's fun to share. I was in Shana Bet, and I spoke to one of the Rebbeim in my yeshiva at that time. I think that would be where I would have to stop, right? One of the Rebbeim in the yeshiva at the time. It was my Shana Bet. And Shana Bet, time to get serious. And I was like, well, there's so much to learn and so much to keep up with, and the shiurim are so intense. I was like, but to keep going, like, there are two things that I need to do. Like, I feel closest to Hasidus, and I need to keep learning Hasidus and Hashkafa. I didn't, not sure if I was savvy enough to differentiate the two at the time. And also, so I had this place that I would go to, very close to the yeshiva, within, it was like a 15-minute walk. And I would actually sit on a rooftop and just kind of, like, take everything in. Like, I just process and be, and it was like, it still is to this day. It's like my happy place. It's my safe space. I still go back there. Whenever I visit Israel, I always make a point of going back there, and it's always like a magical experience. It always is. I love it there. And he said to me, at this point, you have to start making decisions because there are things you need to get through and things you need to learn. And one or the other. Twice a week, do one or the other, and either one is fine, but twice a week, do one or the other. And he said to me, and your other Rebbe would agree with you. Sorry, would agree with me. So I started doing that, and what happened? The next week, my learning suffered terribly. And I was spending more time in the Bay Medrash. And I was spending more time. I was spending more time, but I wasn't connected. And so then I went to my Rebbe, and I said to him, "Why? I feel disconnected, and I feel like I'd be fine if I was just doing more of this." He's like, "So why aren't you doing more?" I was like, "Well, because I spoke to this individual who said that you would agree that I should only do one or the other twice a week." He said, "Do me a favor. Don't let anybody else speak for me. And go do more of what you need to do. And there's nothing wrong with doing either of those things, and those are pure Avodas Hashem anyway. And it will increase your learning. And it will make your learning stronger." This is the same Rebbe who, when he told me later on, he's given me, not that I'm not exam recorded, he's given me some very interesting things to do in order to, like, loosen up my mind and to think in new ways. And, like, but always for the goal of thinking about Torah with fresh eyes, thinking about Torah in new ways. Things that you would think don't fit that paradigm. Like, good things, fun things, active things. Keyword usually being active. Active things, right? What's your goal? And then suddenly anything can be Avodas Hashem in the right amounts, in the right way, in the right time, but to know yourself. But to go too far in one direction can lead to Avera, because you walk away from the Beis Medrash, and you walk away from Chesed, and you walk away from Tefillah. And too much in the opposite direction, so then you're wasting time. And life is about slowly but surely trying to find that balance of what for me really is focusing every moment of my potential on Avodas Hashem. And you're not going to come to the answers in a day. It's a lot of trial and error, and it's a lot of difficulty, and it's a lot of figuring stuff out. But that's how you do it. And that's the only way to make it. Even if you fail, which you won't. I have faith in you, Simon. Even if you fail, God wants you to try. Because at least if you try and fail, if you try and fail, and you're doing it because you recognize that the purpose of this world is free will, and you're saying to God, "I'm trying to engage free will as best I can because I know that's why I'm here," then what is there an underlying theme of underneath what you're doing, even when you do the Aveira? Lo Alino. Avodat Hashem. The Machshava was Avodat Hashem. That's why I chose to move to the Bechira model in the first place. And I'm working to get my mice in there also, and it takes time. But if you work on it, that's the only way you're going to get there. You're definitely not going to get there in the Tzivut Mechachat model. Then you go up to Olam Haba, and you're like, "Where's my chelek?" And God's like, "You have no down payment." You're like, "But I did all these mitzvot." And God says, "Yeah, you did everything that you grew up doing. The same way you grew up, where you were taught how to use a knife and a fork, you also were taught to say a bracha. But I know, because I know you, not any of you, because I know you, that the same way that you, that the same intentionality that you have when you use a knife and a fork to eat your food, you say a bracha with, because that's how you grew up, and you lived your whole life not expressing an ounce of free will. So where's down payment on Olam Haba? Where? Where's our relationship? You were on autopilot. It's scary because we do it. It's not scary for real. It's scary because most of the world goes on autopilot. That's why it's scary. It's not scary because the world was designed to be lived within a free will reality. The world was designed to be an active, thoughtful place. It's not. Sorry, right? Spoiler alert. The world is not an active and thoughtful place. But that's because it's being misused. But if you choose to plug into that, it will come naturally. It will come normally because that's how the world was designed. It was meant to be that way. It's just a matter of choosing to choose. If you look carefully, that was all the text that sits between Ot Hei and Vav. That white space you see between Ot Hei and Vav, that's what we read today. So Bezrat Hashem on Thursday, that was kidding, there's nothing there. It's empty white space. Sorry, everybody's a little tired, it's midterms, it's fine. What we will do, Bezrat Hashem, on Thursday, is we're really just going to jump in. We won't take any questions at the beginning, let's get a little further, and then once we get a few otiot further and we further complicate things, then we'll leave time to ask more advanced, thoughtful questions based on a little bit more information. Okay, so we'll try to have a back and forth between talking it out and also moving further in the text.